Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster for Mile High Sports, coming to you on Wednesday to discuss the first two games of the Mackenzie Blackwood era. We obviously saw him suit up for the Avs both at home and on the road. Colorado was able to win 5-2 in the game against Nashville, lost 3-1 to Vancouver, one of the goals being there an empty netter. Blackwood has let in a total of 4 goals in his 2 starts. So let's see where we can start from. We'll go to the Nashville game, where we know for sure the Avalanche were still dealing with a little bit of an illness, kind of brushing through the locker room. Jared Bednar had mentioned post-game that Logan O'Connor was puking between the first and second period during the intermission. A lot of guys just, you know, they did not partake in the practice on Friday, the day before, at Family Sports. I believe the only guys on the ice were McKinnon and Mittelstadt, and before that, Josh Manson was doing some rehab work. And, you know, Josh Manson's actually on the road trip. He might play Thursday or Friday. We'll get an update on that here in the next day or two. But the Avs had something going through the room, and I remember when they traded for Mackenzie Blackwood on that Monday, so 9 days ago now, Chris McFarland had mentioned when he met with the media early Tuesday morning Monday afternoon. Gosh, I'm losing track of the days. He met with the media Monday afternoon after making that trade for Blackwood, and the Avalanche were still on the road. They had to stop in Pittsburgh before heading back home, and he had mentioned that Blackwood was going to fly straight to Denver. He wasn't going to meet the team in Pittsburgh, and he was going to go straight to Denver and meet the Avs there. Obviously, the Avs were in Pittsburgh on Tuesday. They hosted Utah Hockey Club on Thursday. That was the game that Scott Wedgwood played, and the Avalanche, of course, lost that one as well. So he mentioned that Blackwood was going to meet the team in Denver because, coming from San Jose, he was under the weather. He was sick, and he didn't want to make him fly to Pittsburgh, and, you know, he wasn't going to play, so they called up Trent Miner to back up for Scott Wedgwood. So he met the team here, but even with him meeting the team here, the rest of the team, and it seems to be obviously it's mid-December. A lot of the players were going through some kind of an illness of their own, and that's why only 2 healthy players, or, you know, healthy in the terms of physically healthy players, in McKinnon and Mittelstadt, skated on Friday. So Blackwood was sick when he was in San Jose. A lot of the Avs were getting sick in Pittsburgh. They all met up in Denver. There's something going through that room. We knew for sure it was affecting the club on Thursday as well, the game that they lost and looked lifeless. Saturday, can't say for sure just because there is no Jared Bednar availability that's been publicly made accessible to, you know, just the general public, because there was no traveling media. I'm sure they probably talked about it a little bit on Altitude TV, but I usually don't always have the volume up high enough to know what's happening there. But like the rest of you, I watched the game on Altitude TV on against Vancouver, the one on Monday. So they come out against the Nashville Predators, and it's a little bit of a slow start. The Preds are kind of, you know, peppering the Avs with shots and getting their opportunities in, and Blackwood is doing exactly what he was brought in to do. He's stopping pucks, and he had such a great start to that game, and I just absolutely love seeing the size of this guy in goal. He's a massive dude, and it just looks right. And I hate to say it like that, because Georgiev was an athletic guy, and we saw him for parts of his career with the Avalanche, most of his time with the Avalanche, I should say. He was great. He had, you know, great save percentage. He was making a lot of saves, winning a lot of games. But he had this, like, acrobatic, athletic ability to him that, for a smaller goalie, if you don't have that, you're just not going to stop the puck. There was something about Blackwood where he wasn't really swimming around the crease all that much. The only time I saw him kind of doing that was when Nashville scored their first goal, the Stamkos goal, where he kind of, like, soccer goalie dived to try to get to the other post where Stamkos was shooting it into the empty net, into the open net, I should say. And the reason why that is because he's such a big guy. If you're a big goalie and you have your positioning well, you place yourself in front of the puck and it just, you swallow it into your pads, into your jersey, into the logo, into your glove. And that's ultimately what it felt like he did a lot of. And he's so good. One of my favorite things that I noticed of him was that he was so good with, when he's making a paddle save, a stick save, he's really good at firing that puck into the corner or up against the boards, away from the high danger area. You know, puck wasn't bouncing off of him and ending up in the slot. Pucks were bouncing off of him and going into the corner, going into, you know, the the half wall away from the goal crease, away from the slot, away from that front area where you have 8 or 10 bodies just crashing and banging in the crease. So I loved seeing that from Blackwood. I also really, really enjoyed his calmness. There was this feel to him, and, you know, maybe it's just the way he plays the game because he is a bigger guy, you know, and I've mentioned this in past podcasts. It's well documented. He's 6'4", 225 pounds. He's a rugged fella. It's rare to see a hockey player built like that. It's even more rare to see an NHL goaltender built like that because goalies don't usually have that type of a build. They're a lot more slender, shorter, tall. I think Ben Bishop is 6'7", and weighs like 15 pounds or 20 pounds less than what Mackenzie Blackwood is listed at when he was playing for the Dallas Stars and the Tampa Bay Lightning. So he's got 3 inches on Blackwood, and Blackwood's got 20 pounds on him. So that's just an example of kind of the slender nature of what a goaltender usually looks like. So maybe that's part of it, but there was a calmness to his game. There was a calmness to the way he made saves. There was a calmness to the way that he reacted to making those saves. And it was just different. You know, he just kind of is a stable force back there. And it's only been 2 games, and he's let in 4 goals. He's got a 9.35 save percentage now, and I'm going to double check that. But it's working. Whatever he's doing looks good. And you just kind of hope that he can build on that. Obviously, 9.37 save percentage, sorry. Obviously, the big issue in the Vancouver game that they lost, and I'm kind of jumping between the 2 games now, was the fact that Colorado went down 2-0 and let in an empty netter to make it 3-0 before Val Nichushkin was able to get one past Thatcher Demko, who finally had his returning game from injury where he kind of like, you know, set a standard for himself and the type of goalie that he is. In his first game, Thatcher Demko, he let in 4 goals on 25 shots. In his second game, he let in 5 goals on 28 shots. That game against the Avs, which, let's face it, probably should have been a shutout, and I'm sure he's upset that he couldn't blank the Avs, was the game where he finally returned to the form that makes him one of the best in the NHL and the runner-up for the Vezina Trophy last season behind Connor Hellebuck. So the only goal they got past him was with 45 seconds left, down 3-0. So even had Blackwood made one extra save and the empty net goal doesn't happen, or sorry, the empty net goal still happens, the Avalanche will still lose 2-1. It was the type of game that, you know, when the offense isn't clicking, it isn't clicking, and no matter what the goalie does, you're going to lose. But the good part that I liked about the game was that Blackwood was such a stable force where it didn't get out of hand. You know, and I'm not going to say that this is specifically what would have happened, but in past games this year where the Avalanche have looked lifeless like that on offense, whether it was Justus Enunin or Alexander Georgiev, you know, they're not going into the final period or going into the final minutes to pull their goalie down 2-0. They're going into those final minutes down 5-0, down 4-0, maybe 6. Maybe that crazy-ass Tampa Bay game where Ivan scored 2 goals and Tampa Bay just wouldn't stop scoring no matter who was in goal, and both goalies got yanked. So that was something that I've really liked so far out of Blackwood. There is a stability there. It's the same thing with watching Scott Wedgwood that I like about how he plays, is that whether he's having a good game or a bad game, it doesn't look like there's chaos. It doesn't look like there's drama around it. And it could just be as simple as Alexander Georgiev just, you know, constantly showed his emotion, which sometimes is a good thing, but when you do it too much, it's a bad thing where he's constantly bashing his stick and you can see him cussing and just getting pissed and raging, having little minor moments like that. Maybe it's just that, but having Scott Wedgwood and Mackenzie Blackwood back there, kind of having that stable force, is something that I've really enjoyed. The Avalanche are playing the San Jose Sharks on Thursday, and I was just going to raise the question of who should start. But I think the big thing here is that given the fact that it's San Jose and given the fact that it's a back-to-back and you're going to play each goalie once, I'm going to go ahead and assume that Blackwood's going to make his third consecutive start and get to face his former team. And then you'll get Wedgwood against Anaheim and then Blackwood back at home on Sunday against the Kraken before the Avalanche go into their Christmas break. That's just my prediction. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I would assume Blackwood's going to want to play that game in San Jose and, you know, likely face an Alexander Georgiev who's going to be riled up and ready to go against the Avalanche because that's a motivated fella that wants to win that game. So I'm really curious to see how these next couple games go. because Blackwood's been fine. Scott Wedgwood's been fine. Since acquiring Blackwood, or let me say it this way, since Blackwood has been in the lineup, because they acquired Blackwood, they beat the Pittsburgh Penguins 6-2. They slaughtered them, but he wasn't in the lineup. Since Blackwood's been in the lineup, he was the backup to Wedgwood against Utah. Then he started Nashville. He started Vancouver. In those three games, the Avalanche have lost two. In those three games, the Avalanche have had two where they've only scored one goal. They're not playing well as a whole. I'm going to go back to what I said in the beginning, the illness thing. We know the illness thing was running rampant through the room on Thursday. We know that on Friday, the practice was very, very limited, turned into an optional because of that. We know that on Saturday, they were still dealing with it. And Blackwood even mentioned it post-game. You know, to be honest with you guys, I'm just kind of pushing through right now because I was also feeling something and going through something before I left San Jose. And he admitted it. We know that's been a thing. We heard it from Ross Colton. We heard it from Mikko Rantanen. And these are just the guys that spoke to myself and to Colleen Flynn, my colleague here at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. So the question is, was that an issue in Vancouver? And if so, is that still going to be an issue in Anaheim? Because the Avalanche played in Vancouver on Monday. They had Tuesday off. They have Wednesday off. They're not in Anaheim until Friday night, San Jose Thursday night. You get the point. Two full days off between games, Tuesday and Wednesday. If that's enough to get this illness through and get all the guys past that and get everybody up to speed, then maybe this was just a coincidence of a hiccup where you got new goaltending, but your team's still playing bad and look flat for two of the three games. And quite honestly, in the Nashville game, they were flat in the first period, which has been an issue the entire freaking season. So I'm really curious to see what they do there. But I will say that the Avalanche do need something more. They need something from their depth scoring. They need something from that Casey Mittelstadt line on a more consistent basis at 5-on-5. With Mittelstadt pitching in, Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen are two of the top scorers in the NHL. I believe Nathan MacKinnon still leads the league. But they were, you know, not noticeable against Vancouver all that much. And MacKinnon does. He's at 50, and there are four guys tied in second place with 47, and one of them is Mikko Rantanen. Like, it's hard to call these guys out. You can call them out for their defensive lapses. Nathan MacKinnon had that brutal turnover that led to the Kiefer Sherwood shorthanded goal the other way on the zone entry. And the power play has been an issue. That's something that they've been struggling with. And on top of them struggling with it, now they're giving up shorthanded goals. So you can look at Nathan MacKinnon and say he's got to clean that stuff up. But at the same time, he leads the NHL in points. So it's hard to call him out as much, but the Avalanche need more from their depth scoring. They need more from their defensemen. Kale Makar has kind of tailed off a little bit in terms of his offensive production. He still looks, I think, a lot more comfortable on the ice than I've seen the last couple years. Maybe he's healthier than he's been the last couple years. But he's doing his dipsy doodles out there and skating around guys and wowing you with his puck handling and his cycling a lot more, I feel like, this year than last year specifically. And he's playing heavy minutes over the last five games, 28, 24, 25, 25, 25. And the 28 was a 28-51. So he looks like Kale Makar. But over the last five games, he's got three assists. And that includes the Pittsburgh game where MacKinnon and Rantanen each had 5 points. So you'd want to see Kale Makar kind of produce a little bit more, pitching on the offense a little bit more. Devon Taves has been doing it, and it's been nice to see him kind of quietly working his way back to the guy that we know he could be. You know, over the last five games, he is a +6. Granted, in that Nashville game where the Avalanche won 5-2, Devon Taves was a +5, and I loved his game that night. He had an assist, 4 assists in his last 4 games. Nothing against Vancouver, so they all came in a 3-game stretch. You want to see those guys produce a little bit more. Sam Girard has been pretty good this year, but you're seeing a drop-off in the middle six, or sorry, the bottom six. You're seeing Logan O'Connor is still kind of struggling to find his way. He's a guy who, last 4 games, he's got nothing. He scored against New Jersey, and then he's got zeros across the board. He's got 7 points in 33 games. This is a guy who over the last 3 seasons has pitched in with that roughly 25-point pace, 24 points in 81 games in the cup year, 26 in 82 the next year, and then 25 last year, but it was only in 57 games because he looked friggin' awesome before his season ended with that injury. But this is a guy who has just 7 points in 33 games. And, you know, if he was to play the full season, he would be on pace for well below his averages the last three seasons. He'd be on pace for 17 points. This is a player that you were hoping coming into the season you can start to get 17 goals from on a more consistent basis. And if that sounds outrageous, you know, he had 13 and 57 games last year. Granted, in 22 and in 23, he had 17 goals combined, playing 163 of 164 games. Logan O'Connor needs to pick up his game, needs to pick up that offensive part of his game. And I think that's something that the team is hoping he can do. God, he had four game-winning goals last year. That is insane. The thing with O'Connor is he's still scoring at a 10% clip, which is pretty damn good. He's just not shooting the puck enough. And a lot of it is because, you know, let's call a spade, he's not playing with the same type of talent he was playing with last year. He doesn't have Ross Colton at center. He doesn't have Miles Wood on the other wing. And you know, the fall of Miles Wood in terms of offensive production this year is also something that has been a bit of a bummer for the Avs. Two goals and one assist in 16 games. Yes, he's missed quite a bit of time, half the season now, a little more than half the season. But again, this is a guy last year who had 26 points. And he missed 8 games last year. Obviously, not having Jonathan Drouin has hurt them immensely, because that's another guy. That's a guy who's played 5 games this season, 2 goals and 2 assists. All 4 of those points coming in his last 3 games. His 2 goals coming in his last game on November 23rd. And then nowhere to be seen after that. So that's been a bummer as well. The team needs depth scoring. You know, two of the guys that I just shouted out of the three that I talked about are not even healthy and available. So the reality is you got to find a way to score without them. Obviously, they traded Kovalenko. Granted, he was 4 goals and 4 assists. I know he's producing in San Jose, but he wasn't quite doing it in Denver. I mean, the reality is right now the Avalanche have a depth scoring issue. It's why on Monday when I wrote about, you know, when I wrote in my weekly notebook column, I talked about how, you know, bringing in a third line center is has got to be the goal. They got to get some depth scoring. Last year when they brought in guys like Trenin and Duhaime, it was to have bottom six talent type of players that can play well-rounded games. And they have a lot of those. Parker Kelly is a good player, but I don't know if that's a guy you want playing the minutes he's playing when you get into the postseason, because if he is, that means you don't have a lot of depth. He is useful. He's a good player, maybe a fourth line center. Maybe he's like Freddie Olofsson last year, where he just kind of holds that position and then ends up being the 13th or 14th forward when the playoffs begin. But those are the types of guys that the Avalanche are going to need. They're going to need more offensively inclined talent that can play the bottom six, play a middle six role, but do it with production. They didn't get a lot of it from Duhaime last year. They got a little bit of it from Yakov Trenin, but what they're missing in Wood, what they're missing in O'Connor, what they're missing in Ross Colton being in the bottom six, Jonathan Drouin, a lot of guys just aren't producing where they were last year, and you can see that in the lineup. Granted, last year they also had an issue with depth, and it was the second line depth. It wasn't the bottom depth. So at least now when they're top heavy, they have a capable top line and a capable second line. That's not something they've had pretty much since Nazem Kadri left. So shout out to Casey Mittelstadt and Ross Colton, for that matter, for producing. And, you know, I know Casey's done a little bit of a rut, but that's something that's got to get figured out too. As for the goaltenders, I think I speak for everyone. And it's a small sample size. And in a week from now, I might be saying something completely different from what I'm saying now. And I'm well aware. But just given the way the season had gone before they got here, there is a little bit of a comfortability there where now you can finally shift your focus to other issues that the team is facing, the other issues that the team has, because now you can't pin it on the goaltending. You can't lose 2 of your last 3 games and in each one score a goal and pin it on your goaltending, unless you lose 8-1 and you're down 6-0 before you even get a chance to breathe. And that's not what's been happening. This is an opening night, or the game against Columbus. Those were the Utah game and the Avalanche scored first, if I remember correctly. And in the Vancouver game, they didn't get anything until 45 seconds left. You can't pin that on the goaltending for either one. There's a comfortability with both Mackenzie Blackwood and Scott Wedgwood that they did not have with Georgiev and Nunan, that now you can shift your focus to what the hell is going on in general. Is it simply just the illness, or is it more than that? And I guess we're going to find out here in San Jose on Thursday. Anaheim on Friday, massive road back-to-back coming up. I remember a day where the Avalanche going on that California road swing used to mean loss after loss, and now it seems like they dominate those teams. So you want to see that continue, even going up against what I'm expecting to be Alexander Georgiev starting for the Sharks, and I'm expecting to be a highly motivated Alexander Georgiev starting for the Sharks. He's a guy that beat the Rangers in his first game with the Avs, and you know, he probably wants to beat the Avs in his first game with the Sharks against his former team. So we'll see how that shakes out before they come back home Sunday. They take on the Seattle Kraken, a team they've beat already this season, and then you go from there. So with that, let's put an end to the show here. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless that pretty little heart of yours. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out ya.